with the first pick.
And welcome back to another edition of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Devin Jackson, joined by my other co-host, Corey Kennan. And we're back for another top five positional breakdown. This is the second to last position group, and probably the one that breezes by a little bit when you're watching them a little bit on film, running backs. But before we get into all that, Corey, how you doing today, man? And how's everything been going with you?
Yeah, you know, it's starting to get a little warmer out. It makes me feel a little bit better, but it's the grind season where I don't feel like I get a good enough sleep in here for up until the end of April here. So into early May. So it's definitely the busy season, trying to knock out as many prospects as I can to get up and ready to go. But I'm up to 118. We'll see how many we can hit. But yeah, man, we're in the long haul. Free agency's hit, so that's been a busy week as well. Covering all that free agency news, so some decent players on the move. So, but other than that, man, I'm tired. I'm not gonna lie, I'm tired, but I'm here, ready to go, ready to talk some running backs. So, yeah.
Yeah, you talk about free agency, and honestly, I don't think there were a ton of moves that, you know, really change anyone's outlook. You know, in regards to, you know, like the top 10 or top 15 picks. But we'll get to that down the line, but we'll go ahead and get right into it. Running back position, obviously a bit of a devalue position in drafts recent years. Don't really see many first round running backs anymore. Although we probably have two guys, in this particular class that could be worthy of that. And things a little interesting when you're listening to this, this will be, day old news, but Bijan Robinson meeting with the Eagles. Obviously they pick at 10, and that's certainly the spot people have married Bijan Robinson to. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, if anything comes of that in general. But we'll go ahead and get into our top five rankings. I think we both know who kind of the top two are in this class, but why don't we go ahead and start with your number five, Corey?
Yeah, so for me, my number five is going to be Tyjae Spears out of Tulane. I think Tyjae is a pretty creative runner. I think his vision has some room for improvement. You know, I think there's times he can get through that first level, and then he kind of just tries to kick it into the gear instead of being patient and maybe letting a climber get lashed at the second level to cut off them as well. But I think he's extremely elusive. I think he's really a really fluid athlete, a good receiver out of the backfield. Not much of a contributor in pass pro, I didn't think, but I thought he's decent. He's willing to get in the way. He's willing to do the work. But again, good receiver, really fluid, really explosive, decent long speed. Again, I felt like outside of you know, the big names, long speed was hard to find in this class. So I thought Spears had some decent long speed to break some angles and then pick up some breakaway yards. He's got pretty decent contact balance as well, man. Like the amount of missed tackles forced that he had this season is pretty nice for a guy his size. So I thought all around Spears is just a solid guy. Again, I think this is a class where teams are going to find solid running backs in you know, late day two, early day three, because it's a pretty nice class for running backs. Again, thought his eyes could be better, but overall a slippery athlete. And again, I think he plays with good contact balance. I think he's not afraid to initiate contact. So for me, he's going to sit at a number five.
Yeah, for me, Spears just missed out on the top five. He's actually my number six running back right now. And a lot of what you said, I echo kind of the same things. I thought the vision certainly could have been better, but just how fluid of an athlete he is, how slippery he is between the tackles, it allowed him to be creative in small spaces and still make up for some of the lack of vision that he showed at the second and third level. So Spears for me was a fun watch. And we actually talked about him last week when we were talking linebackers when Ivan Pace and him went one-on-one. So a good little introduction to him there. For me, number five is Zach Charbonnet, running back from UCLA. And he was a player to me that I was like, you know, okay, like, you know, he had kind of, you know, he was like more of a I won't say a rotational guy, but they rotate him a ton in 2021. And obviously he broke out on the scene. People thought he might come out last year. Has the power, doesn't have exactly the best long speed, but can accelerate and get through holes. And in 2022, I thought he did a better job of locating holes and showing a little bit more patience as a runner and allowing things to kind of develop. Don't think he's overly creative at the second and third levels, but I think he plays with so much power, and I love the way he finishes runs. Every time you see him at the end of runs, he's always trying to run through two, three dudes. He's rarely taken down in space one-on-one. Does a really nice job of when he sees it, he hits it and gets what he can, and takes defenders with him. So I really liked the game, especially I like what he did against Washington. Was a game that really stood out to me. Showcasing that vision and ability to get to the second and third levels. They run a lot of pin and pull action too. Love the way he was able to get downhill and get vertical and create yardage. And it was impressive. I'm not too much of a stat guy, but to me, like averaging 8 yards a carry over the last 2 years, it's pretty impressive for the workload he had this year too. And surprisingly, he was pretty productive out of the backfield. Had 40, I think 37 receptions this year out of the backfield too. A little bit better than I would have expected him. Although they don't use him a ton in downfield, options more of a outlet. I thought the pass protection could have been a little bit cleaner, a little bit more stout in there. And I just think sometimes he likes to bounce runs a little bit too much for my like. I think sometimes he can just take what he can get and get north and south a little bit quicker. But overall, I really liked his game, like what he brought to the table. I think the tread on his tires worries me a little bit, just with how many touches and carries he's taken over the last couple of years, and even dating back to his days at Michigan. So, you really no injury concerns per se, but obviously something to monitor moving forward. But I really like Charbonnet, man.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on him. I just felt like when I was watching him, like, I don't know if he has a trait that's not ordinary, you know? Like, again, I think he has good burst, but like, there's no long speed. He's not getting to the boundary. He's a true between the tackles guy, a true one cut guy. He's not slippery in the open field. I think his contact balance is pretty good, but I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's breaking tackles at will. So, like, and again, his eyes, I think he's sturdy. I think he's a really sturdy back, but I feel like every single trait he has is just ordinary. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, a well-rounded back. And I don't blame you for having him in your top five. Moving on to four for me, I like Roschon Johnson, man. Like, he's one of my favorite players in this class. I love Roschon Johnson. Just his story, getting to where he is now, getting recruited as a quarterback. Realized I'm not getting on the field as a quarterback. Talked to him at the combine. He said, yeah, you know, we had a running back transfer out and another one got hurt. And the coaches were like, hey, we need you. And he's like, okay. And he did it. So he switched to running back. Man, he's a thick dude too. And his contact balance is absurd. Like, he has absurd contact balance. I looked up a stat via PFF again. So Bijan Robinson led the nation. Again, we'll talk a lot about Bijan Robinson on this podcast, I'm sure. Bijan Robinson led the nation with 104 forced missed tackles in 2022 on 258 carries. Roschon Johnson had 46 on 93 carries. So you give Roschon Johnson, BJ, or Bijan Robinson's workload, and he's got 127 forced missed tackles. Like, this dude bounces off arm tackles. I think he runs with a pretty low pad level. He knows when to call it quits in terms of his eyes and vision and say, okay, it's just time to put my head down and get a yard or two. I don't think he's explosive, overly explosive. Like, he's not going to beat guys at the boundary. He's not going to win with long speed down the field. He's not going to break away. But I think he's a good receiver. I think he's willing to do the work in pass pro. One of the better pass pro guys. Like, Texas threw him on the field on third downs often because they trusted him in pass pro. So he just seems like a coach's dream as well. Like, he will do what he's asked to do. He'll put his head down. He'll grind. He'll work. I'm excited to see this guy with a full workload. If he gets a chance to have a bit of a workload, because I think his game's really good, man. I think his game's really good. Good eyes. I think he's got really slippery feet. Again, he's not overly elusive, but like, he can stop start pretty effectively. He can put his foot in the ground and get upfield. He's got a nice little jump cut to his game. So he reminds me a lot. I saw a Chris Carson comp yesterday, and I can't get that out of my head. I think Fred Jackson is another guy from the Bills back in the day who he was just a guy who would come in, change of pace. And if, it was Jackson and CJ Spiller back in the day. If Spiller was out, Jackson would start and he'd get 100 yards rushing. So like that's the kind of career arc I see for a guy like Roshon Johnson.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Roshan too. He's actually a little bit higher on my list, but yeah, I love his game, man. His story, getting to talk to him at the combine too, and even Bijan, saying that he was the best teammate he's ever had. So I think that kind of speaks volumes of, how high his character is, how much they appreciate him. And then he was, he had that broken, was it broken finger or broken thumb?
Yeah, he hurt his hand, yeah, at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and he was still going through drills at the combine, less than a month removed from that. So, really can't question his toughness, just the mental fortitude he has. Really, really good player. For me, at number four is Devon Achane, Texas A&M running back. And for me, man, it was a I will say I won't say it's a surprising watch, but I think the mantra around him that he's just like this former track guy that is just all speed. You turn on this film and it's a completely different player than people make him out to be. He's really a really creative runner. He's consistently setting up his blocks at the second and third level. You talked about getting to the boundary. He gets to the boundary with ease, obviously with his speed, track level speed. And what I was most surprised about is the sturdiness of his lower body. He was breaking a lot of arm tackles, getting through a lot of situations like that. And then in pass pro, he was pretty solid. I thought obviously the technique could certainly improve, the hands could get inside, but the willingness was there. His ability to step up. There was a game play against the LSU where Bijan Ojulari came free and. It wasn't a cleanest block, but he took him head on and kept them out of the way of his quarterback. So you have a willing pass protection participant. And then his speed is unquestioned, but I think his vision was really nice too. He had a natural feel for cutback lanes. He did a really nice job like on some of those stretch plays, like even in between the tackles, like picking up those extra 3, 4 yards, just showing that patience and burst and acceleration. So Achane to me, man, was probably one of the more surprising running back watches I've had, considering what everyone kind of makes him out to be, what everyone assumes that he's just in one cut speed guy, but he has a lot more nuance to his game. And then obviously as a receiver, really natural hands, explosive ability. They motion him out to be a slot receiver. So there's some route running ability. So I really like this game and really coming around to him on this game. He ended at number four for me, but I think he certainly if I didn't love Roshan as much as I did, he certainly would have been in the top three for me.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about Roshan since
Yeah.
he's obviously your number three, and I just talked about him a little bit as well.
Yeah, Roshan is so good, man. I remember I was watching during the season the Oklahoma game and the usage that they rolled him out with. Like they put him, in pass protection on third downs. They throw screens to him, allow him to work in the open field. And really, it was like playing against two starting running backs when you play Texas. 'Cause like you take out Bijan, usually you get a guy that's a little bit of lower skill set or they're just complete one kind of one trait guy, but I mean he really does it all. And to me, what I like most about his game is just the versatility aspect. Like you can ask him to stay in on third downs. You can ask him to run a choice route on third downs. You can give him the ball on third and four and he'll go pick up the yards he needs. Everything about him, I just really enjoy his game and I just think it's going to translate to the next level and the team might have a star in their hands. He's a guy that once you get him a full workload and let him be a three down back, I think he's really going to shine at the NFL level and people are going to wondering and to me I think he might go later on day two, and I think teams are going to wonder after the draft why did he last so long, because he just really fits every box for the modern NFL running back.
Yeah, it's hard not to compare him to Dameon Pierce a little bit, who was kind of in the same mold where like Florida just didn't give him carries. Like just, they just didn't do it. He was their starting running back, but they just like they didn't run the football. And so and then he came in the NFL and he was real good for the Texans year one. Kind of similar to Josh, I mean, Josh Jacobs went first round, but like he was buried at Alabama and he was a change of pace guy that the year he came out as well. So like it's kind of wild how some of these guys just get buried on really good teams behind really good running backs. And then you turn the tape on it, like, yeah, this guy's good. This guy can play. Again, we had Johnson and A-Chain flip-flops. So A-Chain was three for me, man. And you hit on a little bit, but a part that I really want to echo is like the amount of power that guy has in his lower half for how tiny he is. Like he's only 5'8", 188. Like he's not a big dude, but he's a hard man to get to the ground. He will keep his legs turning and he will do his best to fall forward. I don't think he's going to break a lot of tackles at the NFL level the way he, I think, especially that LSU game, there's a lot of really poor tackling attempts that he was able to bounce off of. But again, I he had like 53 forced missed tackles in 2022. And for a guy his size, that's really nice. So I think, I was surprised at the power profile that he had to his game a little bit. And then there's all the other stuff that we can talk about with Devon Achane. Like he's a track star, you know, like he's going to beat anybody at the boundary. He's gonna beat anybody. If he sees green grass, good luck. Like if he sees green grass, it's over. See you in the end zone. Like true 4.3 speed. And I thought his stop start was really good on top of that. Like he is really agile, really smooth in the space as well to make defenders miss in space and in the open field. So, and you mentioned his eyes, man, and if some team drafts this guy for an inside zone, wide zone scheme, like he's gonna eat. He's gonna absolutely like there's some wide zone reps where he push wide, and then he'll put his foot in the ground and cut back up backside and gash you. Like he's really smart, really, we said creative. I think that's a great word for how he runs the football, because sometimes he'll hit a hole and then there's a second level defender waiting on him and he's not afraid to kind of duck back behind his blocker and pop out in a different hole. Like he's a very creative runner. I'm a big fan of Devon Achane, and so he's gonna land at three for me.
Yeah, really, really phenomenal talent, man. I really enjoyed his tape, and like I said, that mantra that he's just a track speed type player was certainly misguided. He certainly is the opposite of that for sure. Number two, Jahmyr Gibbs, from Alabama. Man, there's so many good things you can say about him. Because he's everything about his game is just smooth and controlled, and everything. Seems calculated, like the patience he shows to allow his blocks to set up. I was watching a game earlier in the season. I think it was against Utah State, and you see him, like, in real time correct, him missing a hole at the second or third level and kind of creating and getting to his spots, and then like 5 plays later he's doing exactly what he missed. So he's like a very quick learner. He's someone that kind of picks up the pace of the game, and I think over the course of the season you kind of saw him gain trust running behind that offensive line at Alabama, because I think he was so used to having to bounce everything, having to be so creative and force missed tackles at the line of scrimmage at Georgia Tech, that he brought some of that early on with him to Alabama. But man, he Arkansas game, was fantastic. His ability, his long speed, was unquestioned. His ability to make guys miss to the second, third level and then get gone, was just impressive. And then the receiving ability, just flawless with his hands, easy, kind of easy guy to run a choice route with. The yak ability he's able to create, the slipperiness he plays with in open field too. I said earlier in the season, he kind of reminds me like Alvin Kamara, the not necessarily the player per se, but just kind of the style of run and how he kind of glides when he runs. It almost seems like it's effortless with him. So I really enjoyed this game and what he was able to do, and it was a no-brainer RB2 for me. For him, I think everything's going to translate. He's going to be a highly softer, probably top 40 pick, and team's going to get a multi-purpose back that can really do it all.
Yeah, Gibbs is my running back two as well. Again, these top two shouldn't be shocked to really anybody who's paid attention to college football this year. But one thing that stands out about Gibbs, and this is again not a shock to anybody who's watched any Alabama football this year, but it feels like in this class, he's the only running back the team is not afraid to feature in the passing game. You know, maybe Deuce Vaughn, but like he's kind of a gadget player as he is, just because of, he's 5'5", but as a true kind of running back, it really feels like Gibbs is the only guy a team will split out, let him run some routes. They'll try to isolate like on a safety, a linebacker on him in coverage. Evan Hole a little bit too, I guess, out of Northwestern. But that was lacking of the other top five guys that I watched, I felt like. So even guys who were kind of natural receivers, like their average depth of target is behind the line of scrimmage, and most of their work is swings, check downs, and most of their work is after catch. But Gibbs is a real threat through the passing attack. And again, he's very well rounded. Very well rounded. Outside of I would say his play strength's pretty weak. He's not a very strong runner. He's not going to break tackles. If a defender gets his hands on it, that's probably the end of the rep. But if that's what we're working at, then that's fine. Slippery in the open field. Really good eyes. Explosive. Good long speed. So he checks every box except for that contact balance box. And that's more than good enough for me to put him at RB2.
Yeah, RB1, Bijan Robinson. I'm gonna let you talk about him, and just describe why he was your RB1 and both of our RB1s, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bijan Robinson. That's a good place to start. When we were talking about a little bit about Zach Charbonnet, and I just felt like, yeah, but like there's not really a trait that stands out. Like everything feels ordinary to his game. Which be with Bijan, it's like, is there an ordinary trait to his game? Like I think he's so incredibly high ceilinged at every single one of his traits. So contact balance, again, the most forced missed tackles of any running back in college football this year. Change of direction and footwork. Like you can watch that guy stop on a dime in reverse field and take it all the way back across the other side of the field. Like vision, yeah, it's Bijan, of course. Vision. Explosiveness. If he gets in the open field, good luck. Like every single box, this guy's checking. This guy's checking every single box. Yeah, so what isn't there to like about Bijan Robinson? Again, I'm not a huge running back in the first round kind of guy, but if you find yourself at the back end of round one, like, and you're a competitor, like, why wouldn't you? Like, I did a mock draft the other day, and the Cincinnati Bengals just had Samaje Perine leave, and Joe Mixon is a cut candidate because of his contract. Like, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals sitting at pick 28, like, and Bijan Robinson's on the board, like, it's probably a pretty good pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's elite. I would say the only elite running back class, definitely RB1 and probably a top five player in the class out of pure big board purposes, not taking positional value into anything, not a mock draft, top five player for me in this class.
I mean, I don't have much else to add. You're just so elite at everything. Really only need a couple games to just see how special he is. Really can turn on any game and see him. Just the footwork, the ability to make dudes miss in open field, the explosiveness, really everything you need. I was at his podium at the combine for about 5 or 6 minutes, and man, he's already a pro. Just answers every question thoughtfully, and really gave insightful answers. Just everything that you would look for in a running back, and one to build around. So we'll see how high he goes, or low, or however you want to kind of take that. But if there was a running back to take, really anywhere in the top 15, 20 picks, I mean, he'll be the guy to do so. And just to recap kind of our list, before we move to our next section here, for me, number 5 is Zach Charbonnet. Number 4, was Devin Achane. At 3 was Roschon Johnson. At 2, Jahmyr Gibbs. And then 1 was Bijan Robinson. What was your list, Corey?
Yeah, so for me, it was at 5 was Tajae Spears out of Tulane. 4 was Roschon Johnson out of Texas. 3, Devon Achane out of Texas A&M. 2 is Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama. 1 is Bijan Robinson. Devin, I have one other Bijan thought real fast, and it's absolute madness. But what if Ryan Poles is set on getting best player available at pick 9? David Montgomery just signed with the Lions. They've got Khalil Herbert. That's kind of their running back right now. Like, what if Ryan Poles is hell bent on just taking best player available, he takes Bijan Robinson at 9th overall?
It would be insane for sure. I would just say they better nail every other pick after that, for sure. If they're gonna do that, but I mean, you add, a lead running back next to your developing quarterback in Justin Fields. I mean, it's gonna make his job easier. I will say that. You know, it'll definitely take the a little bit of pressure off of him, and imagine trying to defend that team read option wise or just in general. I mean, so many fun things you could do in that backfield if you got Bijan and Fields running around and creating havoc for NFC North division that not exactly has a clear cut winner. So it would certainly be interesting for sure.
Yeah, man, that would be nasty. Ultimately, I think they're probably a team that would be wise to go elsewhere with their resources. Again, because I still think they're probably a year away from competing. So you're going to get some elite defenders that are going to fall to that 9th overall slot. I've heard, they like Tyree Wilson quite a bit. Tyree Wilson might fall to 9. So, but the thought of Ryan Poles just saying, you know what, screw it, man. He's the best player on the board. I'm taking him after losing David Montgomery. There's a little bit of appeal for me personally, not as like a draft analyst to say like, oh yeah, that's something I would pound the table for, but like, oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. All right, Devin, we hit some running backs. Let's wrap up the episode talking a little bit about, outside of the running backs, we've gone through all these other positional rankings. Maybe, as we've gone through these rankings, players that you haven't gotten to, but now you've gotten to, and you're like, oh, this guy's good. I want to talk about this guy. Who's a player that kind of sticks out for you in that regard?
Yeah, so he's been around for a couple of years. People really liked his tape last year. Obviously, he came back for another year and got hurt before he could finish out the year. That's Garrett Williams from Syracuse. Finally got around to watching some of his 2022 tape, and man, he's very very instinctive corner. Someone that really challenges at the catch point. I thought his matchup against Charlie Jones against Purdue was a fun matchup. He didn't win every rep. There was a couple reps that he did get beat deep. And I think that was a little bit him guessing on some of the shorter routes he had been running earlier in the game, and him just confident in kind of in his long speed. He got beat a little bit, but I really like the competitiveness he plays with at the catch point. Thought he did a really nice job like flipping his hips and coming downhill. I thought he was at his best. Especially in zone coverages. I know he made some really nice plays in man coverage. But I really like what he did in kind of cover two and cover three looks, mid-pointing some corner routes, really seeing the field and seeing some of the crossing routes coming into his zone. So I think while I think he's has the build and has the foot speed and recovery speed to be a man corner, I really li would like to see him kind of in a zone system. He has some great ball skills, instincts to jump routes. Had to go back into 2021 a little bit because he really didn't play any high profile teams in 22. He got hurt during the Notre Dame game later in the season, didn't play in the Clemson game. So I really only got to see him against Purdue and Virginia as some of his best teams. So watching against Zay Flowers, some of that getting beat deep. Show up a little bit against Zay Flowers, but the physicality he plays with at the catch point, and he made an incredible play. It was like down the left sideline. No, he was playing like I want to say it was cover four. He did a nice job getting underneath the deep route. Like you see his arm fully extended, and keeping contact with Zay Flowers. So I think he's a good, to me, I gave him a third. I think that's about where I value him at. I think what teams will, depending on how his ACL recovery goes. But I think he's a really good player, solid player. And I think if he plays more, we might be talking about him a little bit differently, but I really like this tape.
Yeah, man, Garrett Williams is one of those guys like I watched when he was a freshman and I was like, oh, this guy's good. Like, who's this? With well, the year they had like Trill Williams and Andre Sisco, like he was the one flashing when I was trying to watch those Syracuse guys. Like, he was the one locking people down, long, athletic, disruptive at the catch point. Like, and then, you know, he's had injuries in back-to-back seasons. It's like, oh, man, I really want to like this guy, but he can't stay on the field. And I haven't watched his 2022 tape yet, but I remember being so tantalized by his tape, his redshirt freshman year, and he just can't stay on the field since then. So, but I'm excited to check that out. I'm gonna stay with a corner too, man. Again, when we went over our top five corners, I hadn't watched this guy, and then I turned on his tape after he put up one of the best cornerback combines in NFL history, like. His RAS was a 999. His relative athletic score was a 999. Like, that's the 99th, the second best corner profile ever at the combine. And that's Julius Brents out of Kansas State, man. So I went back and I watched his tape. And yeah, I think he can get a little anxious and antsy at the catch point. I think has struggled locating the ball down the field a little bit. At the top of routes and off man, I think he gets a little panicky when receivers start to crowd a space and they get to the top of their routes. But man, like, that guy's long, he's athletic, he's fluid for that size, like no issues flipping his hips, no issues triggering downhill, no issues clicking and closing. And his press tech, man, his feet are so clean in press tech, man. He leads with the feet, stays square, then throws his hands. It's like chef's kiss. And so if I could go back, man, I would have Julius Brents at CP5 in this class. Like, if we were going back, he would be my fifth corner, and I think I wouldn't have any issues taking that guy in the first round. If you're sitting in the back end of the first round and you need a corner, and Gonzalez, Witherspoon, Banks, Porter, those guys are off the board, then yeah, man, I'm taking Julius Brents. He's probably next on my board. Like,
Yeah,
that's how
man.
much I really appreciate his game.
Yeah, he's good, man. I remember I just went through a couple games to watch him get familiar with the Senior Bowl, and man, that link shows up a lot. He did get beat a few times, not being able to recognize the ball, especially against Quentin Johnston, but in that Big 12 championship game, he did some really nice things, being physical. Really flipping his hips and finding the ball, especially in the red zone, got an interception in the end zone. So, that's a really fun tape, man. A Senior Bowl day one, he was extraordinary, in one-on-ones, outside of facing obviously Tank Dell, but, he was pretty damn good in one-on-ones on day one of Senior Bowl too. So, it's not just a tape. He did it at the Senior Bowl, obviously tested off the charts. In Mobile, so really impressive. I'm gonna flip it on the other side of the coin. Someone that still gave me a little questions even after watching him, and really it's been like that most career is Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback from UCLA. He is so difficult to like figure out because like there are games like the Washington game, like where he's layering throws, he's doing a nice job with his eyes, delivering the ball on time and throwing with anticipation, and obviously making those plays off script that we come to love and know. Then you got games like Oregon and USC where the ball placement is inconsistent, the ball is a little behind sometimes, it's a little out in front. Like he makes some really nice plays escaping the pocket. And finds his man, but then he'll come back and throw some questionable interceptions. Throw the ball late over the middle of the field. Into some tight windows. And it's just been a it's really been that story for him the last couple of years. It's like a guy with the talent that he has. The off script ability. Like I think he's probably getting draft. Obviously getting drafted day three. I would take him on day three. Probably like fifth, sixth round. And that team is going to be enamored with the traits, man, because he has the running ability. He can escape pockets. Has a decent arm, but for whatever reason, he can leave it a little short on deep passes. He did that even at the combine when he was throwing, and even on tape, the ball is always a little behind. So he's just a tough watch for me, man. because like I like the player, you know, I like kind of the competitiveness he plays with, the off-script ability he has and running ability, and even the accuracy improve year after year, but there's still those times where he tries to make the hero play, or he tries to do a little too much, and you know, for a guy that's a fifth year senior, you want to see less of his play. So for me, still a difficult evaluation. I like him, but I don't like him before day three, and I ultimately I think he's probably a career backup that's going to have to continue to fine tune his game.
Yeah, I'm starting to chart DTR a little bit. We're getting into quarterbacks now, our last position we got to get to, and so I'm getting into him a little bit, and I like the tools, man. You're right that all the tool stuff is nice, but inconsistent, kind of a gimmicky offense as well, so that doesn't translate super well for him. But I think he's a fun player, and I think his ability to extend raises his floor to at least a career backup, I think, at the next level. But for my last one, man, I'm gonna stick on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm gonna go at the linebacker position, man. I was watching these running backs obviously this week, and I was watching Abanikanda versus Tennessee. The Pitt running back is really Abanikanda, who I think is also a pretty good running back. And if you want a two down guy who is can come in and be an electric kind of change of pace, really fast vertical guy, not going to do a lot in the passing game. But on the other side of the ball, Tennessee's defense, man, Jeremy Banks, the linebacker out of Tennessee, is all over the field, all over the field. I think he's a really good athlete, really explosive athlete. What stinks is he's going to be 24 years old in September. So again, as these guys are still in these COVID years, like we're getting some older prospects, 6'2", 232. So good frame on him too. I just think he's an instinctual player, not afraid to get downhill, shows the ability to play some will, some overhang as well. So I think Banks is going to be a special teamer at least. And I think he's going to find some defensive snaps at some point in his career as well. So Jeremy Banks came away pretty impressed with just out of peripherals watching Abanikanda be like, ah, man, this guy's good. So I went back and watched him. It's like, yeah, this guy's good. He's not like top five linebacker good. He's probably not top seven, eight linebacker good, but this is the day three guy that I think is going to land a roster spot.
Yeah, he's someone I'm planning on getting to before I wrap up, you know, all these positions. I'm writing some positional previews up for the next couple of weeks, so I want to get to some more linebackers, and he's on the list, so I'm looking forward to him. I saw a little bit of him over the summer, and like what I saw the athlete wise and being all over the field even last year, so I'm looking forward to watching him a little bit more closely this year, and going back and checking out the tape. I forgot to bring this up, but you mentioned some other running backs. Were there any other running backs that intrigued you for you know, either positive or negative reasons that obviously didn't make the top five, but you feel like it's worth mentioning?
Yeah, so Abanikanda is one. If you a change of pace, two down guy, if your starter needs a little breather, he's not going to do much in the passing game, he's got really really nice explosiveness, really nice vertical speed. I think he's kind of stiff, but he reminds me of Jerome Ford out of Cincinnati last year. And Ford can do a little bit. He's a little denser too, can do a little bit more out of the backfield as a receiver, but just that linearness reminds me a little bit of Ford. Wayne McBride was just outside my top five as well, so. I have him at six, and Dwayne McBride's a physical dude, man. He might have the best contact balance in the class. Like he does not look fun to tackle. That guy does not look fun to try to wrap up. He's got some ball security issues. Fumbled five times this year. Some ball security issues he's got to work through. Not much. I think he got two passes all season too, so he's not really a receiving threat out of the backfield, but. I like his eyes. I like his physicality. He's pretty slippery too. So he's got some nice fluidity in his hips. He's not overly stiff. So McBride's a guy that was a surprise for me at running back as well.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't get to McBride yet for the positional rankings. But a couple guys I want to mention. Kenny McIntosh from Georgia. I thought he was pretty ordinary. You know, there wasn't really any. We talked about like Charbonnet not really having redeeming qualities. I kind of feel the same way about McIntosh. Like he was on like on a really good team, you know, had some really nice production. I think he's a really good receiver out of the backfield. But I'm starting to feel like he might be one of those receiving back types more so than a full workload. Because I thought his eyes were okay. There were times he missed some backside cuts and not overly creative as a runner. At the second and third level, he's pretty much a one cut and go type of player. Thought his contact balance was okay. There were times he just got tackled in the open field, and you thought you saw a little bit more juice from him. So to me, he just feels like kind of your typical day three type of back where he does a lot of things well, but nothing extraordinary. So to me, he feels like more of a fourth, fifth round type of dude that, carves out a role, but I think ultimately he's probably more so a backup than the full load. Another running back that I like on day three later is Evan Hull from Northwestern. It's pretty much Northwestern's entire offense this past year. Did a lot in both the receiving and running game. I really like his contact balance ability to make people miss in the open field. Doesn't have the greatest long speed, but can accelerate through the hole. And just a really tough runner. Someone that you're gonna need two, three people to bring down. And just did some really nice things, even in showing some signs of pass protection. Wasn't perfect in that, but able to locate the blitzers. And then the receiving ability, they did a little bit of everything with the backfield, Texas routes, choice routes, throw him screens, and he was able to break off some big plays. So I think he's another guy. It's probably gonna be a rotational guy at the NFL level, but I really like his ability to do a little bit of both, and I think he'll carve out a nice career as well.
Nice. Yeah, Hull's a guy I'm really looking forward to getting to. He just seems like a solid third down back, man. A solid third down back. So, again, it seems like every year there's like 17 running back to watch, and there's just no way to get to them all for a podcast episode. I think I got to seven or eight of them, and I made sure to hit the top guys. But there's just so many names. I have like Deuce Vaughn, Kendre Miller, Keaton Mitchell, like McIntosh. I hope these guys I still have to get to. So we'll, that's going to be fun to keep watching these guys. But Devin, I think that's a pretty good episode, man. We hit on a lot of running backs, hit on some other prospects. Again, as we get deeper into this thing, we're probably going to have another post com or a post yeah post combine free agency mock draft again, like we did a few episodes ago. We're going to try to do the best to break down the top 10 teams, having people who cover the team come on and kind of talk to us what you know. Well, pulse of the agency is kind of prospects on their board, what they would do, kind of how if the board fell this way, what would they do? So I think those are going to be some pretty fun episodes in the future as well. But again, we're about 5 weeks out from this thing. So we are closing that gap pretty quickly. Devin, you got anything else for us?
Nah, man, I'm just excited to get near the finish line. Getting through most of these prospects, rewatching some and checking back on some of the tape with these guys. So, it's a fun process. Like Matthew Bergeron was another guy that I went back and watched and really liked his tape the second time around. So, really excited to dive into some of the rest of these names, maybe check back on some others that I wanted to go back and take a closer look at, and check back after some athletic testing and pro day testing, and some workouts. So, it's just really all part of the process, man. So just trying to get to the finish line at this point, but, great to knock out running backs, just have quarterbacks left for our positional ranking. So, we'll probably be hitting that up next week to close it out. But yeah, until next time. Follow me on Twitter, RealD_Jackson. Follow Corey on Twitter at RealCoreyKinnon. Make sure to leave us a review for our podcast, whatever streaming or audio platform you're listening to, and we'll answer those questions here on the podcast. And make sure to check out Homage as well on the Substack page. But until next time, this is the Daft on Draft Podcast.